Okay, so one of my favorite topics is man. As I just gave you guys a little preface, I love the concept of every spark of food. Every food that we eat has these holy sparks. We should appreciate every little bit. But I think there's another lesson of the man on a pshat level, and you would miss it if you don't read the text very carefully. But if you read it carefully, there's actually a beautiful insight. So in chapter 16 of Shmot, I had my other chumash. Let me find it. Basically, right after the splitting of the sea, the Jewish people are complaining. Okay? And so they say, oh, I wish we would have just died in Egypt. This is so bad. We're so hungry, so thirsty. So at that point, what does God do? He decides to give them man. Okay? How does it describe it? This man, Vayomer Hashem Moshe in Pasuk Dalet, Hineni mamdir lechem lechem min hashamayim. I'm bringing man down from the heavens. V'yatza am laktu dvar yom biyomo. And they, every day, yom biyomo, have to go and gather this man in, l'man anesenu, in order to test them, or perhaps to raise them up, like a banner, a nes in biblical Hebrew means a banner, to raise them up through this test. Hayelech b'torati imlo, whether they go in my Torah or not. So God gives them this man in response, and they had to gather it dvar yom biyomo every single day. I just random tangent. When I used to do these Shabbos meals, and there was like an open space in my apartment, and one week it was this week's parsha, so I prepared these man bags. And I was going to throw the man onto the people in the middle of the Shabbos meal and be like, "Oh, what's man? Where's that coming from?" I had it all planned out, little bags with coriander seeds and honey cake. And then in the middle of the meal, if you look back in Perek Dalet, this phrase, Dvar Yom Biyomo, appears again. It's the only other time in the Torah where this phrase appears, which obviously means there's something to this. The Torah is doing it on purpose, okay? You guys, anyone hear this before? I actually never heard it until my Rosh Hashiva pointed out. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool pickup. So when Pharaoh Moshe came and complained, "Hey, let my people go," what was Pharaoh's response? You guys remember? What did Pharaoh do to the Jewish people after Moses asked for freedom?
The first time. Oh, he didn't let them have straw.
He made them work harder and didn't let them have straw. Okay, but if you look in the pasuk, what's the actual lashon? I'm not giving you tevin. Okay. And the taskmasters, they were pressing them. Kalu ma'asechem dvar yom biyomo. Every single day, kasher biyotet heaven. You have to go back to your work. Pharaoh said, "Dvar yom biyomo." I'm going to give them tons and tons of work. This way, they won't have time to think about these freedom and all these, you know, philosophical ideas. I'm just going to give them endless work. You see that? So the exact same phrase which the Jewish people were originally oppressed with, this endless work, that's what God ends up giving them to teach them in the lesson of mana, Dvar Yom Biyomo. Every single day, they have to have this daily lesson of mana. So cool. Dvar Yom Biyomo, Dvar Yom Biyomo. What does that mean? What's the lesson we're supposed to take from that? From this similarity in phraseology. In fact, exact same phrasing. So I think you can take many lessons. But to me, it's like this. Pharaoh was trying to overwhelm the people with work so they wouldn't think about the bigger ideas of what's going on here. And so often, this happens to us. Right? We're in the middle of, in high school, you have tons and tons of work. And then, so you're a little brash to the person next to you, maybe the guy on the bus, you just like push him to get onto the train, or you cut some corners and maybe, you know, cheat a little bit on this, or maybe you skip out on a learning seder or skip out on a minion. Why? I'm overwhelmed. I have too much stuff going on, right? And I don't have time to think about the bigger picture. It happens all the time. Okay? So what's the Torah telling us? The lesson of the man, the first lesson that the Jewish people had when they were leaving Mitzrayim, is a daily lesson every single day for 40 years to know that there is a God, to know that there that your bread is not by your work, not by your actions, but by Hashem, that Hashem runs the world. Or in other words, in yeshivish terminology or classical terminology, bitachon. The lesson of the man is to say that, I know it seems like it's all your actions, and of course we do believe in hishtadlus, right? But at the same time, we can't forget that fundamentally, God's the boss. He's in charge, and everything that happens in life is really in proportion, in correspondence to our spiritual actions. The Ramban writes this explicitly at the end of Parashat Bo. He writes that this is the most fundamental yisod of the whole Torah. To know that everything that happens to us in life is mamish based on our actions. Okay, I won't necessarily be able to see that because I did mitzvah A the next day. I won't necessarily always see the results right away. The Chazon Ish makes that clear in his Sefer Emunah and Bitachon, that it may be that only in the next world will we see the results of our actions, and it may be not. Maybe we'll see the Hashgacha process more clearly, especially here in Eretz Yisrael in the Old City. But regardless of whether we see it, we believe fundamentally this lesson of the man, that everything is dependent on our actions and our spiritual actions, and so we shouldn't cut corners. We shouldn't try to. It's not only dependent on our actions. It's dependent on our spirituality and our Torah and our mitzvahs and how true and faithful we are to ourselves. Just like Rav Aryeh Levine's wife was teaching. If something bad happens to us, it's from Hashem. At the end of the day, I may not always know why it's happening. Right? I'm not going to start giving someone mustard. Oh, it happened because of that. Oh, bad thing happened to you. I'm going to empathize with them and care about them. But when something happens to me, my first reaction as a yid really should be, okay, it's all from Hashem, and it's all for a reason. How can I, take this as a lesson for life and make the best of the situation? I would say that's, at least for me, the fundamental lesson of the man. And perhaps lesson number two is also explicit in the text in 16:8. I think the Torah says that it didn't matter if you take more, it didn't matter if you took less. If you took extra man, what would happen the next day? It would go bad, right? Because ultimately, if we have this emunah perspective that everything that happens is for the best, everything is from Hashem, the only thing that really matters is our ruchnias, there's no reason to get upset, no reason to get sad. Right? We just take exactly what we need, we're happy with our lot, and if things go a little, askance, so that's okay. The main thing is that whatever we have, that's exactly what we have. Embrace the moment, be happy in the moment, appreciate what we have, and live the lesson, the daily lesson of the man. So, Bezrat Hashem, I bless us this week to make awesome brachos, to wish every bite to be thankful and appreciative, and to truly live lives of bitachon. And the amazing thing is, when you live lives of optimism and bitachon, it's like opening up the window, the light just shines into your life, and your life will be happy and blessed, because when you have that optimistic outlook, Hashem just shines forth tons of light into our lives. So Hashem should all have an amazing day. You want to add something?
No, question.
Yeah.
So, before that, bitachon, we're also supposed to have, do our hishtadlut. So, why?
Okay, you're right.
If Hashem's giving a man, why is it so bad to save for the next day?
Awesome. You're absolutely right. We do have to do our hishtadlut, right? We have to buy the lotto ticket, right? We all know this, and we believe in work. I believe in going to the army, and I believe in going on dates.
Oh yeah.
Right. And in fact, that's what we get to Parsha too. When Moshe's davening, God tells Moshe, "Stop davening. Go into the water. Go into the sea." Remember we talked about in the splitting of the sea and the bashir that we learned. So on the one hand, we have to do our hishtadlus, and on the other hand, we have to have bitachon. Mm-hmm. And these are contradictory at times, and That's the complexity of life. To on the one hand, do everything in the realm of action that's necessary, but on the other hand, to know consciously, fundamentally, that it's all dependent on Hashem. And the truth is, it might depend on your madriga, on your spiritual level. And if you're on a really high spiritual level, then for you, God might expect you to have more bitachon and maybe a little less hishtadlus. And if you're not really on that level, then God might expect more hishtadlus from you. If you want more in this article of Nevinsal, in this week's parsha, has a whole article just talking about hishtadlus and bitachon and the balance between them. You could also ask him a question. He's at the Ramban Shul. But fundamentally, yes, you're right. And But why the manna now? Because now the Jewish people, they're in this slave mentality, this worker mentality, action, 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 action. And so when you're on one extreme, you have to go to the opposite extreme. Okay, so right now, during these 40 years of Egypt, God is pounding in, day out, Amunah, 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 Bitachon, Bitachon, Bitachon. Of course, the goal ultimately is to get to Eretz Yisrael, is more Hishtadlus, more working the land, and more of us doing actions, but at the same time, it's so part of our consciousness, this Bitachon that we'll never forget. Kind of like when you're in the army, originally, your commanders act with distance towards you, and they don't let you call them by your first name, and it's all about respect and discipline. And ultimately, slowly, slowly, they start being nicer and chiller, and you can call them by their first name, and they break these stunts. But it's already pounded into you, this like respect, right? So Hashem is like drilling into us, Amunah, 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 Bitachon. Ultimately, there's actually a chiastic structure in the parsha itself, that's whatever, between this going from Amunah to more Hishtadlus. Rav Sacks talks about it. If you want to, Ayin Sham, he has a whole article about this topic. Ultimately, we need the blending of both, but there are times in our lives and in our national lives when we need to pound this into ourselves. So I would say, maybe for in some yeshivas, I would go and give the opposite shiur. It's important to do yeshivas, not just to daven, but to go and do action. It could be then more like in our circles. We're raised more on the values of go to college and go to work and do actions. So we know that, and we need a little bit more to like really pound into our consciousness. But it's really up to Hashem, you know. Like it really, Bitachon, really Hashem runs the world. Shkayach Hashem, amazing Shabbos, and don't forget your bracha achreinos, and it's always a schus to learn.